And this week, we're going to continue a little bit from last week, where we were talking about a man and his wife. And I guess most of you guys know that men and women are different, right? And we're talking last week about needing to learn your wife's language, women speak. In order to understand them, you have to learn their language. And I want to start out this week looking at some differences between men and women. In the last number of years, they've done a lot of research on the brain, and they've looked at male and female differences. And I found some highly researched medical images of the brain, and I'm going to look at that. Let's take a look. Here's the female brain. And in the center there, we got, center of the brain, we got phone skills, we got shopping. It's a little section where a woman thinks about sex. Let's see what else we got in this brain. We got a section of the brain where a woman will think irrationally. Irrational thoughts lobe section. There's a section the brain that's focused on jealousy. It's another section, need for commitment hemisphere. Pretty big section there for the woman. We got a sense of direction nuclei, little particle in the brain, a female brain. We got the ice cream receptor and the chocolate center of the brain. And then we got the argue and debate lobe. That's in the bottom part. And then last but not least is the decision particle. As you can see, there's not a lot of research went into that, but that's the female brain. Looking at some of the differences between men and women, now let's look at the male brain. And the big section there in the middle, a man is thinking about sex, okay? Sexuality. The next one, interrupt lobe, just in the bottom part there. Short attention span fragment. And we got the work section, we got the math particle, a little section focused on sports, we got the feelings molecule in the middle there. We try to act like we don't have feelings. We got the stick shift section, we got the computer fixation lobe. Guys like computers, we got lame excuses gland. And cell phone addiction center. We got the listening particle. How's that for us guys? We got the personal hygiene atom. And then we have the ask for directions resistance center in the middle, on the bottom. So there are some differences between us as men and women. Now you know the reason that we're different is that it all starts in the wiring, right? Men and women. You know, sometimes these differences create a lot of tension for us as men in our marriages. And I'm going to unpack some of that today. Let's first look at the verse that we were looking at last week, 1 Peter. And I'm on page 68. Man and his wife, part 2. In the same way, husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. 1 Peter 3. It impacts us spiritually how we live with our wives. It impacts our spiritual walk. Give honor, treat with understanding. And as a man, I wasn't born with skills to understand and know my wife. And as men, we have some learning to do. It doesn't come natural to us. And the hard part for me sometimes as a man is to open myself to actually be willing to learn. To open myself to learning from my wife. And last week I said this, how successful a man becomes or is in his life often will, his feelings of success will be determined on how well he gets along with his wife. It majorly impacts. Let's look at some of the models that we looked at last week. I'm just going to run over them quickly before we move on. We looked at the top-down traditional man, wife, child, top-down. And the man in this marriage sees himself as the benefactor, the guy who gets all the benefits. He's on the top, he's top dog, and he's there in order to receive the benefits that come from marriage rather than giving and serving. It's built around him as the man as Lord. Then we had the 50-50, identical. There's some marriages where there's the husband and wife are trying to work out a deal where there's no roles, everything's the same. And fairness is the banner where everything's, if I get this, then if you get this, then I get that. And eventually, one side or the other is going to think that, hey, I'm carrying the bigger load. It's not fair. And you're going to have to give a little bit. Then we got the side-by-side biblical model of marriage. And I think most of our marriages in here will fit into one of these, where a headship is a responsible leader of equals. And a husband and wife relates in a complementary way. Remember the fish example? The symbiotic relationship where the mutual benefit, the big fish and the little fish. The big fish protects the little fish from predators, and the little fish cleans the big fish and keeps them healthy. There's a mutual benefit. The rest of this time, I want to unpack a little bit, what is side-by-side biblical? What does that actually look like? And I was actually talking to Dan a little bit before we started here, and last week I said, I'm not speaking up here because I feel like I've arrived, because as I've studied this, I've been challenged, I've been pricked in my own heart about ways that I live with my wife and things that I choose. And so I hope as I'm talking, I can talk about some of that, but I don't think I'm that abnormal as a man. There's ways that we struggle as men in relating to our wives, and some of them are similar. Let's look at core. And last week we talked about core responses, core roles, and core concerns. And we're going to unpack what that is. But first of all, definition of core is a small foundational ingredient that needs to be present in every marriage for the marriage to be strong and growing. Every small but essential ingredient that every marriage must not ignore, neglect, or compromise if it's to be successful. So when we talk about core roles, it means a foundational way of relating, roles that we carry in our marriage. When we talk about core responses, we're talking about foundational, essential responses that is absolutely essential to our marriage if we're going to be able to make it. And then core concerns, core needs that as a husband and wife need to be met if we intend to make it in our marriage. And you know what? Even though we're talking about these core essentials, those foundational the core essentials are going to have different shades, different color, depending on the marriage. Every marriage is unique, and depending on. So I'm, when I'm talking about core, it's not a cookie cutter kind of approach But it's generalizations or ways of thinking about your marriage, that no matter what marriage you're in, no matter what color or shade or dynamics that are there, every marriage is going to need these elements. And you know, I think a lot of our marriages are very similar. All of us are trying to figure out how to live together well in a way that's meaningful or mutually beneficial. We're trying to figure out how to respond to one another. We're trying to figure out how do we meet each other's needs. Sometimes we're thinking about how to meet our own rather than the other person. Let's look at core roles that God gives a husband and wife in marriage. And sometimes these terms are controversial, but I don't think we can get away from them as we look at Scripture. Core roles that God gives. God ordained and sanctioned, and we've been talking about that. The first one is wife as a helper. And we talked about in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word helper is only used in reference to God and in reference to the wife, to the woman. God is our helper. Our wife is our helper. It's an honorable role. It's something that, as our wives, it's a nurturing role. It's a supporting role where they bring love and care to our families. And generally, it's more relational or interactive. I was with a couple of my uncles and aunts on Sunday night, and on the way home, I said to my wife, you know, I didn't even hear much out of my uncles, but my aunts are there, you know, talking away and interacting, and my uncles just kind of sat there. And I think they fit kind of our normal when we go visiting. It's often the women that are chit-chatting, and guys are sitting back, relaxing and listening. So the wife as helper isn't a dumbed down or some sort of a less than. It's honorable. And then there's a verse from Proverbs. An excellent wife who can find? Her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks well to the ways of her household as a servant. She serves, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. That's the wife as helper. And then the husband as head. This is core foundational roles in marriage. Every marriage needs to have. And this title of head, again, it's going to repeat from last week, but it's a title of honor. Husband as head. It stresses responsibility, protection, provision, direction. And as a man, and I think I said this before, but the buck stops with you as a man. You are the man. And how are you doing as head in your home? The buck stops with you. A husband is head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. It's from Ephesians. And it's challenging men, challenging husbands to lead like Jesus. And as Jesus gave his life, gave himself up, Paul is calling us men to do the same. And the longer I'm married, I think the more I think through how marriage, I think God intended marriage somehow to grow us up as men, to grow us up to be stretched and challenged to be better men, if we let it. We don't always let it as men. Core responsibilities. Let's move on. This is the responsibilities that as men and women, husbands and wives, core responsibilities, foundational, essential ingredients that we every marriage needs. Core responsibilities that empower your mate's role. And I'd like to suggest the core responsibility, the top there it says core roles, it should say core responsibility. Core responsibility of you as a husband, as head in your home, needs to be honor and praise. And you can fill that in that circle there on 69. And this is what I'd like to unpack a little bit. In order for your wife to feel good about her role in as helper, she's going to need a constant core response from you as her husband. Constant means ongoing over the years of your marriage. For the man, and looking at these core responses, for the man to initiate and take responsibility, he needs certain key responses from his wife. The husband needs responses from his wife. The wife needs responses from her husband. And the first one is honor and praise. When those are missing, it doesn't mean that, like say the wife doesn't get honor and praise. That doesn't dissolve her of her responsibility of as a woman. And for the husband, if he doesn't have the core responses of his wife, it doesn't dissolve him of his responsibility to love her well. But for the marriage to work well and the partners to feel empowered, this is needed. A wife needs honor and praise. And I think as a man, for me, in my marriage, this is one area where I feel like the Lord has been challenging me, where I have some repenting to do as a man. A wife needs to know that she's important in the investment that she's making in the family. She needs to know that it's valued. She needs to hear that from you. She needs to hear you put that into words. She needs to know that you're talking about it with your friends and with your family about who your wife is. And this is one of the areas where I feel like the Lord has been poking into my heart about, as a man, how I value my wife, even if she's different than me. And the hard part for me as a man is I think I'm a normal guy, but I've figured that, you know, you could do this thing maybe a few times, and once it's done, then you could move on to the next thing. But it needs to be, the honor and the praise needs to be given in an ongoing way. I'm married 17 years, and the ongoing nature of honor and praise, giving honor and praise, is really something that hasn't come natural for me. It's something that I wish I could be done with and move on with. My wife needs to hear in an ongoing, constant, verbal way what I think about what she's contributing to our home and to our marriage. And I struggle there as a man. I really do. Let's look at a couple verses here. In the same way, husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. This is 1 Peter again. She may be weaker, but she's your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Give honor to your wives. And in Proverbs, her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. He's like, woohoo! He's cheering her on. And as men, we have to do that in an ongoing way. And I don't know if you guys are like me, but if I have to do things over and over and over and over and over again. Sometimes I get to thinking that I must not have been doing it right the first time if I have to keep doing it. And sometimes that's what bogs me down as a man, because I have a sense that maybe there's something wrong about the way I've been doing this, because I have to keep on doing it. You have to keep on praising and giving honor. And I don't know that the praise and giving honor is the hard thing, but it's the ongoing maintenance of my marriage that falls back on me. God's call to me is to continue maintaining my marriage. And as long as I'm married, as long as we're living, I will never be done. That's the hard part for me as a man, to get used to that idea. When a woman doesn't receive this, when a wife doesn't receive this from her husband, after a while she's going to start thinking, you know, this isn't really worth my investment. This marriage isn't worth my investment. This family isn't worth. So that's why some women go off to careers. They'll go somewhere else. Look for places where her value is going to be recognized if it doesn't come from you in the home. And when it is recognized, when she hears thank you, when she hears you're doing good, I need you, you're noble, it's not going to be a chore for her to fill her role as helper. If it's valued for what it is, it's not going to be a chore for her to fill her role as helper. There's also a core response that is needed from the wife toward the husband, and that's submission. And this is, again, in our day, kind of a controversial word. If you as a man, if you as a husband are going to lead and protect and direct and take responsibility, your wife can't be competing with you. She can't compete. And so sometimes when a wife criticizes a man's initiatives in an ongoing way, like I think Proverbs talks about constant dripping, over time a man can begin to lose heart and become passive when there's this constant tension, constant competition. Submission is stepping out of the way and not undercutting leadership that's happening. That's submission. There's a few things that submission is not. And we said a few things that submission is. There's a few things that submission is not. And if you want to write this down in the side, on the side there somewhere. I don't believe submission is a yes person. If we're expecting our wife just to say yes sir, that's not submission. That's lording. Submission is not a yes person. Another thing submission is not is submission is not a man's responsibility to demand from his wife. Follow that? Sometimes I hear men talk to their wives or talk about their wives, you know, she's not submitting to me. That's not your problem. It's a gift given by a wife. It's an attitude of her heart and mind. You can't demand that kind of as a husband, you can't demand. It's not something that's demanded from your wife. And another thing submission is not. It's not an enabler of wrongdoing. It's only empowering right doing. Follow that? It doesn't enable. True biblical submission does not enable wrong. It doesn't help wrong. It only helps good. There's a verse. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting. You know, there's the verses of submission, or the phrase of submission. But then the second phrase, as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. It only empowers right doing. It doesn't submit to wrongdoing. It's not a license for a wife to give in to anything that a husband demands. And some of the best and the worst times in my marriage is when my wife has had the courage to stand in my way when I have been on a wrong path. The best, looking back, I'm glad that she had the courage. So it's the best times in my marriage, but it was also the worst times in the moment. I'm a better man because of my wife's strength when she has stood in my way at times. True biblical submission will encourage godly leadership. So it's core roles, core responses. Now we're going to look at core concerns that meet your mate's deepest needs. And we're going to add to that picture on page 69. I'm going to kind of run through it, and then we're going to unpack what some of the core concerns are of your wife that you need to meet as a man. But we're going to balance it here. First, a core concern, core need, core longing as a husband is for companionship from his wife. Connection. He doesn't want to be alone. He wants someone who will do things with him. He wants his wife to join him in activities. One of the funnest things for me working at Life Ministries is when my wife comes and helps me with the group. Or on Friday we did the sweetheart banquet Friday night. That was a lot of fun. I love having my wife join me doing that stuff. Second thing every man needs is admiration. It's an incredible desire of you as a man to be admired by your wife. A man needs to hear that from his wife, you know, I'm proud of you. I like who you are. Sometimes we don't hear that because we're not very admirable. But it's a longing, a desire that we have. Third, every man needs support. If you as a man are engaged in taking the leadership initiative in your home, it's a longing, a desire for us men to be backed up by our wives, to feel their support when you're on the front line of your marriage. Let's kind of look at this in military terms. You know, when the U.S. went into Iraq in Desert Storm, for every one man on the front line, there were seven backing him up with support services. For every one man on the front line. And one of the biggest, when you study history, one of the biggest mistakes of Hitler in as he was trying to dominate, and his war machine was powerful. One of his greatest mistakes, looking back, as people have studied what he did, was when he split his front lines. And he was meeting, one of his fronts was meeting the Allies in the West, and the other front was meeting the Russians. And basically it divided his supply. It broke up his supply line, and eventually they ran out of fuel. And they couldn't keep up two front lines to keep their machine going. And if you think about that in marriage, when you have a man trying to lead and take care and his wife trying to lead and take care, eventually the marriage will run out of fuel. The same thing's going to happen. Both end up looking for support and help and encouragement. It's not like we don't need to support and help our wives, but eventually neither one will have energy to give to the other. And they begin to seek it in other places. And then the last need that we as men have is physical responsiveness. in marriage, as men, I mean, we're intensely physical creatures, and as married men, we have a need for good sex in our marriages. Let's look at the female side. And we're looking at core roles, core responses, core concerns. And this is core concerns. Your wife has a need for companionship just like you do. But it's different. It's played out differently. A lot of women complain, you know, my husband won't talk to me. God created a woman to be intensely relational. And actually her sense of well-being as a woman is connected to the verbal and emotional connection in her marriage, often. And romance novels and soap operas and things that attract women, women snap them up, where they could get caught up in a story or a fantasy where there's an intense relationship between a man and a woman. And there's a reason that it attracts women, because they have a longing and desire for companionship. I remember talking to a friend a number of years ago, and he is from a foreign country, and they'd been living over here a number of years, and his wife would sit at home watching soap operas, and she would assume that this was normal life. And it was creating trouble in his marriage, because his wife was watching these things and expecting him to come home and be this kind of a guy. And she was frustrated with him. As these core concerns, these core foundational needs of every man and woman, if they're not met in the long term, there begins to be a creeping separateness in the marriage. Your wife took your name in the marriage because she thought she was getting you. I'd like to unpack this a little bit more. We're going to look at the wife's needs, companionship, and we're going to break it down. And I'd like you to write down three headings somewhere beside that circle there in 69. We're going to go through companionship and security. See if I got this right. Significance and emotional responsiveness. We're going to unpack those, and we're going to write down three headings. Must do, can do, and courage to do. Well, there's a few things under companionship that you must do as a husband. There's a few things under companionship that you can do. And there's a few things that you should have the courage, or you should take courage to do. The wife's needs as helper from you as her husband. She needs security. She needs significance. She needs emotional responsiveness. You need physical responsiveness. She needs emotional responsiveness from you as her husband. Let's look at these. Companionship, must do. There's a number of things you must do as a man as you live with your wife. Regularly date your wife and talk about your world and hers. This isn't, you have to add this in your notes, some things you must do. One of the things that I started early on in our marriage was to have regular date times. And the longer that we're married, And the older our children get, the harder it is to make this regular. When our children were small, we had some friends that we would, 1 week, they would bring their kids over. I think it was Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night, they would bring their kids over, and they would go on a date. And then the next Tuesday, we would take our kids to their place, and they would babysit, and then we'd go on a date. So every other week, we'd have a date, and it was free because we would trade off babysitting. It's a lot of fun. Regularly date your wife. Regular planned times with your wife where you set aside time in your week and your month to spend with her. Companionship. This is a core foundational need that she has from you. Develop a common play together. The couple that plays together stays together. One of the things that I didn't realize my wife enjoyed this, but the last 2 years now, we've been hunting together. And she was with my son last year and this year, shot a deer. And she just loves wandering around in the woods with, I don't know if she loves shooting, but she likes just being out there with us. And that's been a lot of fun. It's one thing that we do to play together. Develop a common play together. Anyone have an example of something that they like to do with their wife? Like an activity or something?
Camping?
Traveling? All different. It doesn't have to be the same thing. I think that's where the uniqueness of a marriage can come out. Now, companionship, courage to do. Plan a special just for you to get away. It will build great memories, strengthen your relationship, and encourage romance. Once, twice a year, plan a special getaway. 2, 3, 4 days. It often, sometimes my wife and I have tried to do it one day or one night. And about the time you're sort of relaxing and settling in, you have to go home again. So 2 days is good. 3 days is better. Courage to do this, to build companionship, to meet the needs of your wife. Make time. Let's look at security. Your wife has a longing, a desire, a core need for security from you as a man. Some things you must do. From time to time, tell your wife, I'm committed to you for life. Your wedding anniversary is a good time to say this or put it in writing, or Valentine's Day. I just wrote that into my card I wrote my wife the other week. This is something I did not know when I first got married, that she needed to hear from me. I'm committed to you for life. Needed to hear in an ongoing, constant, ongoing way. Your wife needs to hear that. Some things you can do is establish in the security meeting the needs, security needs of your wife. Establish financial disciplines. Avoid debt as much as possible. Develop a long-range security plan for your wife that includes life insurance. Some of us may not agree with that, but some it provides security for your wife if you would die. A savings plan. A health plan. And a well-thought-out will. And I think I said this before, but one of the things that I did after last year going through Encourage Men, we had a will, but it was probably 15 years old or something. And we had numbers of children since we had done it. So we went and redid our will. It's just like, provide security for your wife. This is can do. Must do, can do. Courage to do. seek to provide financially so your wife doesn't have to work, especially while raising young children. What's so much fun in our neighborhood is for the neighborhood kids to come around, and my wife is always there. Unless she's running somewhere, but there's moms and dads that aren't at home, and often neighborhood kids end up at our place because my wife is there providing care. And they've even said to our children, you're lucky to have a mom and dad at home. A lot of them come from broken homes. Courage to do. Let's look at significance. Your wife has a deep desire and longing to know that she's significant to you as her husband. We talked about that a little bit. Regularly tell your wife how much you value what she does and how important she is to you. Regularly. And I can't say how important that is to regularly let your wife know. In the ways that you sound, the ways that you speak, ways that you relate to other people around her. I think some of the biggest ways I've wounded my wife is in a group of people taking light something about my wife where I haven't valued who she was. Creates a lot of hurt. You must do this. Some things you can do. Surprise your wife with a note of praise. With flowers, it's even better. Or a special night out just to say thank you for all she does for you. Surprise her. You can do this. The ongoing nature and the ongoing, I like to call it, maintenance of her marriage. That's not the normal way we think as men. That's not the normal way I think as a man. Like, how many of you guys do that kind of thing? Like, I don't act like that with her. He's my friend. He knows it. I don't have to send him flowers and a card and write him a note every other week or something. You know, we don't think about that as men. I have friends that I grew up with. One lives in China, another in Mozambique. When we get back together, you know, we might not have talked to each other for months, 6 months, a year. We just start where we left off. We don't think about maintenance when we think about friendship often. I mean, there's connections and things that we do as friends, but it's different with your wife. Courage to do. From time to time, lavish your wife with special gifts, a surprise trip, money just to spend on her. The costlier, the better. It sends a message. It's not just digging into your wallet. It sends a message about your value, how you value her. Emotional responsiveness. This is the last one. Just like we have, as men, have a physical need for responsiveness from our wives have an emotional need for responsiveness to us. Regularly tell your wife with a hug, I love you. Let her know that you love her. Let her know that you care about her. Emotionally emote. Respond. It's hard for us, guys. Can do. Learn to say, so tell me how you're doing, in a quiet place with time to listen. How many of you men give time like that to your wife? It lets her know. It meets a need, a core foundational need of her heart, for you to take and make time to hear her. And sometimes my wife, you know, we might sit down, I think it was just last week, we're sitting in our kitchen at the bar, and And she started talking to me about something that was really heavy on her mind and her heart. And I just kind of listened, talked about it. And after we were done, I didn't think lots had happened, but after we were done, she was like, huh, that felt awesome. Now, and she hasn't brought it up since. And I didn't think I even said much. Tell me how you're doing. Courage to do. On special occasions, let your wife know why you love her. With spoken words, a card, or in a poem. Spell out in detail all the things you admire and love about her. Be specific and romantic. And I, last week, it was Valentine's Day on Sunday, and took some time to sit down and write in words why I love her, my wife, why I love her, and things that I admire about her. It's not the natural, normal things that we do as men. It's speaking another language. I don't do that normally. Sit down and spend half an hour to write a note to my wife. I mean, I live with her, for Pete's sake. She should know this stuff, right? That's how we think as men. Courage to do. Here's a quote from John Gray. When a man does not object to argue with a woman's feelings, but instead accepts and confirms their validity, and listens with empathy as she explores those feelings, a woman will feel truly loved. That's not normal, the ways that we think. I'd like to run through quickly, time's up here, 6 reasons for doing the things, these kinds of dealing with these core responses, core roles, core concerns. In the biblical side by side, it positions a man and a woman for what they naturally do best. 6 reasons for following the biblical side by side model. This is on page 70. It organizes a man and a woman to complement each other rather than compete with each other. As side by side equals, it organizes a man and a woman to complement, not compete. It creates an environment that is best for the healthy development of children, thinking about raising daughters who expect to be valued by a man that comes to try and court them someday. That feels huge to me. How I relate to my wife is creating a norm for my children as they think about their homes and how I deal with my wife. It becomes the ideal we can train our children from an early age to embrace. It becomes the ideal. It honors God's word and is blessed by Him. And it prospers and advances society as a whole. Abraham Lincoln said this, the strength of a nation lies in the homes of its people. Some of you may have seen this book, For Men Only. I have 3 or 4 here for sale. They're $15 each. Some of you guys, we've been talking about how do we learn women speak. This book was written by a husband and a wife who did a lot of research, and this was actually real research. It wasn't like the brain that I had up there. Did research, and they went and talked to women about, asked them a number of different questions, and then they put it in a book for men. If you want to understand your wife, if you want to understand a woman, and understanding the language that they speak and the language they live in, this is a good book. For Men Only. I have 4. I think I have 4 here There's three on the back table. You can talk to Dwylan or myself if you want to buy one. All right. I think the only way as men that we can really love our wives as God intended us is because God loved us first. My wife gave me this shirt a while back. I love my wife because God first loved me. Thank you.